Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Kenneth Mead, the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
And also joining us in our conversation is Young Kim from IBM. Good morning, Young.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Ken, let's start by talking about the department. Could you begin by describing the organization and the mission and you know, something about the size of the Department of Transportation?
Well, sure. The department is, well, I think it was set up in 1966 and has about 10 agencies today. It covers aviation, rail, auto, trucks. We have Federal Highway Administration and pipelines. That may surprise some people, but the Department of Transportation has jurisdiction over pipeline safety. Up until the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Coast Guard was part of the Department of Transportation. It is no longer. And for a brief period of time, the Transportation Security Administration was part of the department. So for a period of time there, they had 12 agencies. Now they have 10. The annual budget is just about $60 billion. They employ about 55,000 people. A fair number of those are air traffic controllers, and we have offices all over the United States. And what's really important, I think, to remember about the Department of Transportation is its basic mission, which is the safe, efficient, reasonably priced, environmentally inoffensive transport. Regardless of the mode of transportation, it could be car, it could be bus, it could be truck, train, or ship.
Ken, if we could, let's focus on the Office of the Inspector General. What is an Inspector General's role in a federal agency? And a second question is, what do you do and how do you do it?
That's a big question. Let's take apart the mission of the Inspector General, first of all, and then once you can talk about how the Inspector General does their job. Above all, your job is to do independent and objective audits and investigations. And term audit focuses on more or less systemic reviews of programs. In the case of the environment, it could be of environmental programs or energy. It could be of energy programs. In transportation, it could be transportation programs. Investigations focuses on situations when somebody's or a corporation or corporations have done something wrong, often criminally. So most larger inspector general offices are divided into at least two basic parts. One part is audits, evaluations. The other part is criminal investigations. Basic mission, prevent, detect waste, fraud, and abuse, promote economy, efficiency, effectiveness. A lot of people do not realize Inspector General's, part of the Inspector General's job is to review pending legislation, regulations, and review them with a view towards making recommendations. And most importantly, overarching obligation probably runs counter to Management 101 principles, but you have a dual reporting requirement. It's set right there in the statute. You report to your secretary, the cabinet officer, and you report to the Congress of the United States, and you have a legal obligation to keep both of them fully and currently informed.
Right. Now, let's expand on that a little bit. I'm curious as to what makes an effective inspector general and how do you measure your success?
Well, I think what makes an effective inspector general, you have to be independent. You don't pull your punches. You make sure the secretary is informed. You make sure the Congress is informed. But also, and this is a very important corollary, I think it's part of the Inspector General's job to be constructive, proactive, and solution-oriented. And by that I mean we ought to be out there trying to prevent problems from getting worse or prevent problems from occurring in the first place. And once you do find a problem, to work with the Secretary, work with the Congress to come up with a solution that, well, in my own case, serves the traveling publics.
Could you give us a snapshot of your office? I mean, you've described a broad mission at one level. I'm curious about the size of your team and even the members of your team in terms of their skill set.
Well, we have about 430, 440 staff. About a third of my office, maybe 25%, is criminal investigators. And the remainder are mostly professional staff in the audit and evaluation disciplines. It used to be that most of the people in the audit and evaluation discipline were auditors. That is, people who had majored in accounting. I think that in the contemporary Inspector General's office, to meet the issues and demands of the day, serve the Congress, the Secretary, traveling public, you need a more multidisciplined staff. So we have a very multidisciplined staff. We have auditors. We have public policy people. We have some safety statisticians. I have some air traffic controllers on my staff, economists. And not trying to offend anybody on my staff, probably left out a discipline or two. But the point is that today's IG office, you need a multidiscipline staff. You can't take on the tough issues of the day with just an auditor or a criminal investigator.
And would I be correct in, as I envision your staff, seeing them as somewhat older because experience would seem to be important as they perform their activities, or was that a misperception?
I think that's a misperception. Actually, my particular staff is, if not the youngest, average youngest age in the department. It's certainly right. It's among the very young, youngest of staffs. And as I said, it's a mix of disciplines. And one skill I think that is understated or undervalued that's becoming much more important in my opinion, I mean, both investigator side, auditor side, evaluation side, is communication skills. People who can write in clear and lucid prose and concisely for people that are among the most senior decision makers in the U.S. government, in my opinion, have a leg up career-wise.
How do you select, or how are the programs selected that you'll audit or investigate?
A whole variety of ways. And let me begin to tick them off. One, of course, is a law. Congress passes a law. A good example, Congress passed a law directing us to review motor carrier safety. They directed us to review the safety situation at the border, preliminary to letting Mexican trucks into the interior United States. Another way is just a congressional request. A chairman, a chairperson of a congressional committee or a ranking member of a committee writes to the Inspector General and says, I think you need to look at this. And we try to give equal treatment to the ranking members of committees who right now are Democrats and to committee chairs. So we approach on a bipartisan basis. Another way is every Inspector General's office has a hotline. And people call this hotline. They can call it anonymously or they can leave their name. Another way is somebody just writes a letter in. Often the Secretary of Transportation will ask me to do an audit or investigation. For example, over the Christmas holidays, you remember the meltdown in Philadelphia with, in that case, U.S. Air, and in Cincinnati with Comair Delta. That very weekend, that very Christmas weekend, I remember it very well, the Secretary made it real clear that there was going to be an Inspector General investigation. He said, I'm requested the Inspector General, but it was a very firm request, I might add. And so we did that. Other ways, we self-initiate work. We have the legal authority to self-initiate work. There are occasions when neither the news media, nor the Congress, nor the hotline, nor the Secretary tell us that this is an area that you guys should be, you all should be examining, that we judge actually does need to have a close examination. Oftentimes, that occurs in an area that involves, it may involve a safety issue, transportation safety issue. It could involve what you might see, might judge to be an obscure accounting issue, but that in fact affects, protects the taxpayers' interests. So we self-initiate work too. You want a statistical breakdown? I would say that if, probably about 50% of our work is directed, requested by the Congress. Another 40-45% is requested either by the secretary or one of his immediate assistants, or one of the administrators, such as Marion Blakey, of the administrator of FAA, and probably 10%, probably 10-12% is initiated by ourselves.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that self-initiation was such a high percentage. What are the top management challenges the Department of Transportation, plus the Department's Inspector General, Ken Mead, for his perspective, when our conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour?